Dave, what is going on in Gator territory as they prepare for a week from Saturday?
Bill, got the big news late last week that transferred Justin Shorter, wide receiver. He'll be eligible to play this year for the Gators. So it gives them one more piece to replace, you know, all the receivers that they lost last year and guys who made plays in the NFL this past weekend, and Ben Jefferson, Tyree Cleveland, Josh Hammond, Freddie Swain. It's good because Mullen, a couple weeks ago, spoke on Kadarius Toney, you know, one of the other wide receivers there, and how he's becoming more of a complete wide receiver, and that needs to happen. Of course, you know, he can't just be the gadget guy out there. He needs to be able to be relied on to, you know, to catch a pass when they really need it. And now Justin Shorter gets eligible, and now it gives you some weapons there with Trevon Grimes, Jacob Copeland, Kadarius Toney, and now Justin Shorter, and good reviews from the true freshmen, Xavier Henderson and Duquavion Frazier, as, you know, deep threats. And I said this on the podcast last week, and this was even before Shorter getting eligible. I think this group of wide receivers, they're not going to be as good as last year, but I think there might be some more explosiveness to this group. So I think they can hit probably more downfield passes if the offensive line gives Kyle Trask more time, and I think the downfield passing can improve with this group. My question is, when it's 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 6 and in the fourth quarter and you're driving to either extend the lead to put a game away or you need it to go score, who's going to be that guy that can catch that 3rd and 7 pass that you could rely on so much last year? You still got Kyle Pitts coming back at tight end, and that's going to make everything easier for this wide receiver group. But who's going to be that guy that can go catch that important clutch catch with water really needs it? So while the explosiveness, I think, is there, I still think there, more of the realistic opportunities still. They'll have to go prove themselves in that regard.
In basketball terms, who can get the bucket when we need it?
There you go, Bill. So you were able to. And Mullen spoke on this too. We talked to him yesterday, and how Billy Gonzalez is so instrumental, Bill. And when Mullen was first hired, not much was thought of that Florida Gator receiver group. They were recruited well, but Tyree Cleveland, Josh Hammond, Freddie Swain, they were all 4-star receivers, but hadn't necessarily lived up to it. And maybe not so much fault of their own. The whole team kind of fell on their face into Jim McElwain. But from Dan Mullen's first season, that group was thought to be a weakness, and then to his second season was what they kind of built the offense around, was that receiver core. So Billy Gonzalez does a really good job. And look, Van Jefferson was a transfer, and everything, and how everything kind of turned around for him, and going to Florida and becoming their top targeted receiver. Now you got Justin Shorter, another transfer, and Florida's had great success with all the transfers, pretty much, that they've bought in since Dan Mullen has been here on both sides of the ball. So now Justin Shorter, Lorenzo Lingard, 2 more transfers. You just kind of hope that that trend continues of transfers coming in, and this Florida coaching staff gets the best out of them.
Gator Dave with us. We'll let you know how you can get his podcast and everything he has for you out there. Very popular podcast called Gator's Breakdown. When you look at Florida and you look at Georgia, differentiate the two teams. What's the difference in those two teams right now?
But I think the starting 22 for both teams, especially with what Georgia lost last year and everything, I think you take the starting 22 – and that's what I think everybody's looking at. When they say Florida's closing the gap, or Florida has a chance to win the East this year, I think it's because of that. You got your quarterback coming back. Georgia does not. You got a lot of the offensive pieces. The offensive line, albeit a lot of questions there still, most of those pieces are coming back while Georgia replaces a lot. Now, the biggest question, Bill, is what can Dan Mullen do for all the success and all the accolades he gets on offense and being able to build an offense? What can he do against Kirby Smart? It's been 3 years in a row, his last year at Mississippi State, these first 2 years at Florida, to where these offenses have struggled versus Kirby Smart. And that's the question. Just can, when they get to Jacksonville, you have the pieces. But, and – a lot of people want to, praise Dan Mullen, and rightfully so, of getting the most out of his teams and being able to call great call great ball plays on game day. Because he was out-coached last year in Jacksonville, Bill. There's no two ways around it. And, you know, people want to compare the coaching acumen of Kirby Smart and Dan Mullen. Well, last year, he got out-coached there. So I think, you know, for what, you just got to go win the game. It's time. You can't lose four straight to Kirby Smart, three straight to Florida when you come over. And so you've got to put something together. You got to put a package together to go score points in that defense. And don't get me wrong, maybe you don't need as many because that Georgia offense, you know, last year you still had a chance to win the game deep into the game. Maybe you could pull something else. So, yeah, Florida stays healthy. Keep those starting 22 going into that Georgia game because, you know, depth does become a concern. And, you know, for Georgia, it's a little bit of, you know, all the quarterback news. They don't really have many talent concerns, but there's depth concerns there too. So I think if both teams and their starting 22s go to that game in Jacksonville, you know, then it's a knockdown dragout. But if the injuries start happening, I think it's who can better replace what you're losing injury-wise. And right now, you probably have to give that advantage to Georgia just because of the way they've recruited.
Yeah, you hear rumors out of Georgia's camp. We'll have Griff on a little bit later to talk about it. But now the latest is that Carson Beck's looking good. Have you seen this? Now, I'm not doubting that he's a good prospect. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but I don't know if that's just Twitter doing its thing, but it's, yeah, he's looking good. He may get the quarterback job.
Yeah, I saw that report as well, Bill, and it fell in line a little bit. I had Carson Beck's quarterback trainer, Denny Thompson, on Gator's Breakdown last week because of you know, I just wanted to get some stuff about Anthony Richardson and the Georgia quarterback situation as well, and also kind of to extend that conversation, Jeff Sims, the Georgia Tech quarterback, was also trained by Denny Thompson and got a big win at Florida State this past week. So Denny's got three quarterbacks that he's looking at a lot this coming up year. But, yeah, he said on the podcast last week, you know, he doesn't expect Carson to be the starter, but he was, you know, I'm sure he talked to Carson and all that, and, you know, he said it wouldn't shock him if Beck could, you know, maybe work his way into the conversation, but not necessarily start. And, you know, I think that's the way kind of everybody sees it. Bill, right now you're going to get a lot of good at the fall camp, no matter who the team is.
Right.
And, you know, with J.T. Daniels and his injury situation still not being cleared, I mean, that's really only got to be a matter of time. He's played in every scrimmage and taken part in all the practices. It's just got to be a matter of time. But the hot name, you know, going into last weekend was DeJuan Mathis, and the hot name coming out of it was Carson Beck. So I find it hard to believe, you know, that Georgia's going to find their way with no matter who the quarterback or what. This is the fourth name now after Newman that you hear in rave reviews about. And I kind of have some doubts there that all four quarterbacks that can go out there and, you know, get all the accolades of being a starting quarterback and give Georgia the chance of you know, winning the East and going to fight for a college football playoff spot.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown, the podcast.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown or your favorite podcast platform. Recording an episode tonight, kind of doing a Q&A session, do some tweet out there yesterday and got some really good questions from Gators faithful there, and we'll dive even more into what Justin Shorter and his eligibility being able to play this year, what that means for the Gators.
Quick note here. Some teams, Dave, that we watch, game one, they're a little rusty. Now, that could be any season, but this year's been abnormal and odd, as we know. With Kyle Trask back, should that be avoidable for Florida? Should there be any rust early on in game one?
I would like to say no, Bill, but, you know, Brock Purdy was right up there in a lot of conversations with Kyle Trask, you know, the Iowa State quarterback.
Yep.
And you watch that game, and, you know, he struggled with accuracy all throughout the game. So, why I'd like to say y'all, the experience coming back, you know, it's just, this was an off season like any other, Bill. And I saw all the training videos and all that stuff, but that's still different than you get 22 on the field and you get a pass rush coming in your face and all that. Florida only scrimmaged twice this past fall camp, so, you know, we'll see what it means. But yeah, just because he's got the experience in coming back, you know, after watching Brock Purdy and all the experience he brought back with him as well, it's just hard to say, you know, what's going to happen out there.
Dave, we'll see you next week, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
There you go. Gator Dave joins us Tuesdays. We talk Gators. We talk SEC. We talk college football. He's very good.